Father, we will be still and know that you are God. For there's no one like you, no one to compare to you. Father, you are awesome in all of your ways. You are the faithful provider. You are the deliverer. You are our helper in every situation. You're our Savior, Father God. Thank you for all that you've done for us. All of our rights and privileges in Christ. All of our inheritance and benefits in Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we're so glad to be freed from a devil's hell tonight. So glad to be saved. So glad to be born again. So glad to know Jesus personally. So glad to know you in relationship with Christ, Father. So glad. So as we stand before your word tonight, Father, we're thrilled about the word of God. We anticipate the power of your word tonight because we know that your word, Father God, your word is not an ordinary book. Your word are not mere men's words. Your word is not dead men's words. Your word is alive. Your word is quick. Your word is powerful. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Father God, your word has the answer to every situation we face. Your word has the answer to every crisis, every question. Your word has the answer tonight. Father, we know your word is just dripping with anointing. And Father, we're believing and expecting, Father, you to speak to us through your word. So release your word. Speak your word unto your people. Unto every ear that hears, speak a word. To every person assembled here, speak a word. To every person who may be listening via the internet or some other venue, speak a mighty word to them, Father God, in a way that only you can, through your word, Father, through the power of your word. Amplify your word, Father. Thank you in our hearing and in our listening. And then thank you for the Holy Ghost tonight. He's our great helper. He's the one who helps us. Hallelujah. He's our comforter, our standby, our guide, our advocate. He's the truth revealer on tonight. Thank you for the great helper. Thank you for him tonight. And through your Holy Spirit and through your Holy Word, Father, minister to your people. We are all your people. This is your pasture. Minister and feed your people. Father, thank you for what you're doing to help Pastor and Mrs. Hagen as you minister through them, use them, refresh and help them. And then thank you for all who are there in Oklahoma City. Father, thank you for using them, helping them. We just thank you for what shall be wrought in our midst tonight, and we'll give you all of the glory in advance and forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord? Praise God. Why don't we thank all of our frontline singers, all of our musicians tonight, leading us straight to the throne room. Praise God. What a glorious time of worship. Glory to God. Thank God. We appreciate every one of them, and we appreciate you being here tonight. God is good. Amen? Amen. You have your Bible. Go to Luke 17. Luke 17, if you would be so kind. I'm reading mainly from the New American Standard. I do have some scriptures in the New Living, but Luke 17, we'll read 24 through 30, and then we'll read 32 through 36. That's Luke 17. We'll read 24 through 30, and then 32 through 36. When we leave there, we'll be headed from Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. And tonight, I'm reminded of something that happened when I was traveling with a team of awesome, awesome people from Rhema Bible Training College in 2011. Would have been March 2011. And I was leading a missions trip to Peru. And I had never been to Peru, and to this day, I am in love with the Peruvian people. Man, just a beautiful culture, beautiful people. And 2011, we had the privilege of leading the trip to Peru, and we had a glorious time with people saved and healed and filled with the Spirit and delivered. We just had just multiplied testimonies. But we flew back after being there, I think 8 days total on the trip. We flew back, and we flew all night, of course, and we got into Atlanta, Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta. We'd been flying all night, and I told the 13 students as we were in the auto tram that takes you to the correct terminal or whatever, the little train, automated train. I told that we by the time we got in and landed, we could clearly see we didn't have enough time to catch our connecting flight to Tulsa. And it looked like, man, we are not going to make it at all because we were going to have to go to customs first. We couldn't just come from Peru and go to our gate. We had to go to customs. And we clearly hadn't been given enough time to get through customs. And But we had been gone, I think, 8 days, and the students were anxious to get back, and I was anxious to get back. And so, I don't know, just in my heart, while we're in the tram, all headed to the customs, I just said, students, we're just going to agree that we're going to get on the flight. And so they said, okay, all right, Pastor Bill. I said, we're just going to agree right here. Can you hook up with me? We're just going to agree. We're going to make this connect. I don't know how we're going to make it, but somehow we're going to make the connecting flight. So they agreed. We prayed and we arrived. We got through. We raced through. I mean, as fast as we could get through customs. I had one student at the who the first one who got through customs is counting heads of the other ones coming through customs, and we're all waiting. One gets through with something, and they're waiting and they're counting heads, and we're all gonna get to the back to the tram to get to the gate we've got to get to. And oh man, just like we didn't have enough time. When we came running, we got off the tram running up to the gate. We were running, and the ticket agent, she said, slow down. You're not gonna get on the plane. She said, I know you all were in Peru. Are you the Peru group? Y'all were in Peru. We said, yeah. And then I peeked out the window because I could see the plane there. And I said, is that the plane? She said, yeah, but it's gone. You know, once they close the jetway, once they close the door in the jetway and their records and all, they consider that gone, even if the plane is sitting there. She said, it's gone. I said, well, would you do me a favor? Would you just radio the captain if he'll just open the door and let us get on? We've been flying all night. And I said, these students are ready to get home. I'm ready to get home. And the next flight, I think we would have had to wait. I don't know how many more hours. We were going to have to wait there several hours to try and get on the next flight. And she said, well, when we looked at your tickets, we could see you didn't have enough time to get through customs. So we immediately took you off this flight and we rescheduled you for the next flight. You're not even on this flight. She said, so just relax. So I said, ma'am, if you would just call the captain and that. She said, I'm not going to call him. She said, because I already had a conversation with him. He knows you were coming from Peru. He knows you all didn't have enough time. He knows we rebooked you. There's no sense in me calling him, but I'm not going to call him. I said, if you would just be so kind. She said, I'm not going to call him. I said, do you think because we didn't have enough time to get to our connection, do you think that the airline might be kind enough to buy us dinner or lunch or whatever? Do you think they'd buy us lunch? And she said, no, I can't confirm that. She said, but what you can do is go down to the customer service center. They'll see that you actually did. It wasn't your fault. They might give it to you. I don't know. You can go down there and ask them. She told me what terminal they were in. And so I told the students then, I gave the last directive, listen, you all wait right here, don't go anywhere. If, you know, I said, I'm going to go and see if I can get us some passes for some lunch or whatever, and just stay right here and wait on me. We all agreed, and I headed off to the other terminal. And I had no sooner made a beeline going to the other terminal, well, that lady, the ticket counter lady, she chased me down. And she said, sir, she said, I went ahead and called the captain. And she said, he told me, are they all there? She said, I told him, yes. I counted, you know, 13 and then me. And she said, the captain said, then tell him to come right now. Tell him I don't want any delays. Tell him to get on the plane right now. And she said, get all the students together and come on and get on the plane right now. And I turned around and we made a beeline back and I started counting heads and I'm missing 4 students. I had just left. And I thinking to myself, oh, Lord. And she said, what's the matter? And I said, they're not all here. And she said, oh, well, she said, I'll tell you what, then all of you all get on and go. And she said, I'll wait till they come back and they'll catch the next flight. And I said, well, okay. Well, I said, well, the rest of the students, I said, you all go and get on the plane. The rest of you go on and get on. And I'll wait. She said, no, you get on too. And I said, no, I'm not getting on. She said, I'm telling you to get on too. I said, no, ma'am. We all went to Peru together, and I'll come back with the last of them. I'm not leaving anybody here. And she said, sir, please don't argue with me. Will you get on? I'm going to find the students, and I'll tell them when you're gone. I said, ma'am, I left with these students. I'm not coming back without them. I'll come back. Take them and go. I'm staying here. She was frustrated at me, and so she said, okay. And she slammed the door, and they headed off to the plane. A lady who was sitting in the waiting area, well, I didn't even know her. She came up to me and she said, sir, she said, I heard your whole story. And she said, y'all were on a missions trip to Peru, right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, do you want me to go to the ladies' room and see if your other students are in the ladies' room? I said, oh, okay, ma'am, that would be a good idea. And so I heard her when she went in there. She yelled with a big voice, you students from Peru, your pastor is out here, said, get out here right now. And they all came scurrying out. Oh, they came scurrying out. And so the count was right. And so, you know, that all took about 3 minutes for the time she approached me, told me what she wanted to do. And we got to the restroom and I heard her yelling and they all came out. And that took about 3 minutes. So I ran and knocked on the door. You know, now the door is closed, you know. And so I just bam, 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 bam on the door. Now I heard the lady say on the other end, I heard her voice, oh, no. As if, oh, no, he did not. No, he is not knocking on that door. Oh, no, he didn't. She didn't say all that. She just said, oh, no. But I interpreted the rest. But she, you know, she opened the door and she had a look of anger on her face at me. And I said, ma'am, they're all here. And we counted them all. And she said, just get on. Just get on. She seemed like she was about 65 or something. I said, ma'am, thank you so much. It was my fault. It was totally my fault. She said, just get on. I kissed her on the cheek. She said, just get on. So we got on the plane and flew back, made our connecting flight. And the other students were asking, how did y'all get on this plane? We said, nothing missing and nothing broken. God is good. We didn't want to be left behind. What was the moral of the story? We were almost left behind. What's the title of your message? Don't be left behind. In Luke 17, 24 through 30, and then 32 through 36, Jesus said this, for just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. And one will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, and the other will be left. This is a very serious, solemn scripture about the return of the Lord, with the Lord Jesus himself describing what the culture and the times will be like. He is promising his return, of course, and yet he predicts his return in the midst of a culture that is unbelieving, that is unexpecting. He says they'll be drinking and eating and marrying and buying and selling and building. In other words, they won't be living in the light. The predominant culture won't be living in the light of his return. But thank God for you and I who know better. Thank God for you and I who know that Jesus is a soon coming king. Thank God for you and I who have aligned our priorities and our core values with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know that his words are true and that he is a soon coming king. Thank God for that. I said, if you have a mindset like that, thank God that you're not blinded, because the world is blind. They can't see. And so the warnings that have come year after year and down through the centuries, the warnings that have come, so many in this culture live their life in doubt and unbelief that that will ever happen. And yet the day is coming. And let me tell you, should the Lord tarry his return, not to be morbid, but there's none of us who will live forever in this mortal body should the Lord tarry his return. Now, Christ has promised that we'll live forever, but we're going to have to shed this body one day. I said, amen. I said, death is the final enemy. I had the privilege of doing someone's homegoing service the other day, and to know that brother graduated to heaven. You know, this is graduation season where people are graduating, and here this brother has left this earth realm, and because he was a believer in Jesus Christ, he has now graduated to heaven. In that place, that awesome place with gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold, that place that is illuminated by the Lord Jesus to be in his presence. He is there. And so Jesus warned in this passage about having false security. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. Jesus died so that he said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Jesus wants us to have an abundant life, to have a life that's fulfilled. But he wants our core values and all that we believe to line up with his priorities. As believers in Christ, as members of the body of Christ, the priorities in each individual member in the body should align with the head. I said, amen. If his primary concern is lost souls, that should be our primary concern. I wish I had an amen there. I said the Bible says the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. That's what International Rhema Day is all about. It's not about an offering, it's about the precious fruit of the earth. The offering is helping gather in the harvest. The offering is helping train people to gather in the harvest. I said amen. And so here the Lord warns against having false security. Just have, if someone here in this culture just has their priorities in just in physical, tangible things, well, what a waste. There's nothing wrong with BMWs and houses, but let me tell you this, if that's the only goal, if that's the only acquisition, if that's the only priority in life, what a waste. Things in this life are so temporal. God doesn't mind us enjoying them, but he wants us to put the eternal ahead of the temporal. I wish I had an amen in here. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the angel announced in verse 11, the angel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." The angel announced that Jesus is a soon coming king. There's no time to sit here gazing. There's no time to sit around waiting. There's no time to contemplate how he left, because he's coming back the same way he left. The angel was announcing, in effect, it's time to get busy. Occupy doing the Lord's business until he comes. Moses said something in Exodus 32:32, and I know I'm going quickly tonight, and some of these, if I go too fast, I'll apologize in advance. Just write the scripture down and look it up later if we go too fast. But Moses said in Exodus 32:32, he was talking to God about after he had been up meeting with God, and the Lord said, "Go down, your people have sinned." And he was up there on the mountain meeting with God when God told him to go down to the people that sinned. And when Moses went to meet with God, then he's asking God to forgive the people. He's saying, "God, please forgive them. Forgive them. They made a false god. They made a false idol. They worshiped a different god." But he says, "God, please forgive them. And if you're not going to forgive them," he says, "take my name out of your book. Just take my name out of the book." Moses knew that God had some type of book. And he said, "Take my name out. Take my name out. If you're not gonna," it shows his compassion for the people, his love for the people. He was interceding for the people. Over in Philippians chapter four, this time the New Living Translation, verses 2 and 3. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3. Philippians 4 and verses 2 and 3. Paul said something very interesting to two sisters who weren't agreeing. They were having some type of disagreement, some type of spat, some type of argument together. And Paul wrote in an effort to heal it, to get them to reconcile. He writes in Philippians 4, verse 2 and 3, "Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news." Now listen to what he says after that. "They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written," where? in the book of life. Moses knew that God had a book that had his name recorded in it. Here, Paul writes in getting these sisters to reconcile, and he said, they have been my partners in the gospel. They've helped. And he says, they're my partners in the gospel. Their names are written in the book of life. Over in Revelation, if you will, chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, if you will, reading here from the New American Standard again, Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, "Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people of every nation." I probably need to back up just a little bit on that because I want you to see a little more of the context. Go back with me to verse 1. We're in Revelation 5. I'm trying to speed up for the sake of time, but I'm losing my context. Revelation 5, verse 1. I saw in the right hand, John is describing the revelation he had, and he says, he saw something at the throne of God. He says, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.' And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." Verse 7. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation.'" Hallelujah. I want to say three things about the Lamb's book of life. Three key words tonight I want to give you about the Lamb's book of life. Number one is the word remind. Remind. Number two is the word rejoice. Rejoice. And number three is the word repent. Repent. First, let's look at the word remind. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. We're looking at the word remind. These three key words. We're talking about the Lamb's book of life. How many of you are glad your name is written in that book? Yeah. Praise God. Revelation 20 verse 12. "I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were open, including the book of life." Did you notice that? It said the books were opened at the throne of God, including the book of life. In other words, gives that impression that God has a book of life and he has other books too. What might some of those other books record? Well, over in Psalm 56, verse 8 and 9, we have a clue. Psalm 56, verse 8 and 9 in the New American Standard. Psalm 56. Verse 8 and 9, "You have taken account of my wanderings." In other words, you know every place I go. You know everything I do. I like that. "You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle." Now listen, "Are they not in your book? And then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me." Aren't you glad that God is for you? I said, your name, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ tonight, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Anybody glad about that? Let me see your testimony. I said, your name is in his book. And he said, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God loves you so much. He's counted every tear you've ever cried. When life, when people, when circumstances and situations have hurt you, God, he was there to wrap his arms around you. God, he didn't run from you. He ran to you. He picked you up. When the pains and hurt of life came, it was God. It was the Father's arms embracing you. It was God lifting you up. It was God holding you up. It was God propping you up. You know I'm right about it. I said his love for you cannot be measured. And the tears that fell from your eyes, tears sometimes too numerous to count. Anybody ever had to cry sometime? Oh, God has recorded every tear you've ever cried in his book. I said, he loves you like that. That you, that not a teardrop can fall from your eyes without God recording that tear. And without God, who is the God of all comfort, rushing to your side. Without God applying the healing balm of his spirit and his word. I said, God cares about you. And Psalm 139 and verse 16, New American Standard. Psalm 139 and verse 16. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. Woo! The psalmist said, in your book, you've recorded every day of my life. You've written every day that was ordained for me in your book. Before any one of them has ever come to pass. You haven't lived all your day. You haven't lived out this day. Oh, but God's got a book. He's already recorded. God cares about you so much. God is so, he is so enthralled with you. You are the apple of his eye. You are the center of his attention. I said, you are in your Father's hands, and the days of your life, I wish I had an amen in here, are recorded in his book. We could go on and on with scriptures that show how God has recorded things about us in his book, but we must move on. Remind is what we're talking about. The title of this message is Don't Get Left Behind. The first point was, listen, remind what? Remind yourself that God is for you. He cares for you. He loves you. Remind yourself he loves you like that. What are you going through tonight? God loves you. God cares for you. He's carefully recording each tear. Secondly, real quick, rejoice. Rejoice was my second word. Over in Luke 10, verse 17 through 20. Luke 10, verse 17 through 20. Run with me now. Luke 10, 17 through 20. Luke 10, 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. I said, your name is recorded in heaven. I said, your name is recorded in the Lamb book of life. That ought to bring joy to you. I said, on a sad day, that ought to bring you joy. On a day when you just having struggles, that ought to bring you joy. On a day when the enemy just seems to be attacking you, hey, that ought to bring you joy. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and everything is all right. You ought to tell Satan, take your hands off of me in the name of Jesus, because you have no authority over me. You can't trespass on me. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus has given me authority. Nothing shall by any means, I wish I had an amen in here, shall hurt me. Hey, because God has given us authority. And today we have the use of his name. We have the authority to use his word. The authority to plead his blood. I wish I had amen in here. I said that ought to bring you joy. Jesus said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you in my name. Rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Your name's recorded in my book. Let that bring you joy. If that don't bring you joy, something wrong with you. Hey, as a believer, you should never get tired of just hearing again that you're saved and born again. That eternity's already begun on the inside. Woo! And if you could get a glimpse of the things that God has in store waiting on you. I said, we ought to have joy. Your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. Finally, we're running. What was your first point? Remind. What do we want to remind ourselves? Listen, God is with you. Remind yourself that God is with you. What was your second point? Rejoice. What's your third point? Repent. Over in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. The scripture says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Aren't you glad Jesus blotted out our transgressions? Jesus blotted out our sins. You said, I'm still thinking about what I did. Did you repent? Yes, it's all gone. I said, his blood washed it away. I said, Jesus has forgiven us. I said, our sins were not just forgiven. They were remitted. Glory to God. Aren't you glad about that? I said, you've been freed from it. Hallelujah. You said, where did they go? They were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. They were thrown into the blood. They were thrown into the sea of his blood. You can't get no amen preaching like this. And don't go fishing there. There are too many Christian folks fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. So what you doing? I'm fishing, brother. I'm fishing. What you fishing for? I'm fishing for my past sins. Man, please. You ain't going to find them sins. They've been washed in the blood. The Bible says in Micah 7, 18 and 19, they were thrown, God threw our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. Hey, aren't you glad Jesus washed it all away? Glory be to God. Woo! Revelation 21 and 27. Revelation 21 and 27. I'm going faster now. We're running. If you don't turn to the scripture, write it down. Revelation 21 and 27. Nothing unclean, no one who practices an abomination and lying. John saw, he saw God's kingdom, shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. He said, the people going to that place, the people going to God's kingdom, all of them, their names are written in the Lamb book of life. Woo! In Revelation chapter 20, in Revelation chapter 20, oh man, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, we see how the devil, we see what's awaiting Satan. We see for all of the pain and all of the rebellion, and he's going to get his just reward. And there's a lake of fire that's been created for him. And God doesn't want people going there. Some people will go there. Some people will force their way in. But God doesn't want it that way. God didn't create it for them. People reject God's offer of forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. And they have no choice but to go there, because it's only the efficacy of his blood that can save us. It's only the efficacy of his blood that can renew us, that can save us from our sins. And when people reject, God puts his offer of forgiveness on the table through the person of Christ. And when people push it back and say, I don't want that, I'll go my own way on my own terms. If they keep pushing like that, God will eventually let them do that. And they'll go out into that outer darkness where the Bible says there's a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Revelation 20, verse 10. Then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Aren't you glad that day is coming for Satan? His day is coming. His lease is just about up. He's been the small g, god of this world, according to the scripture. He's the god of this world, creating havoc and chaos and confusion and inflicting pain. Oh, but he's already a defeated foe, first of all, number one. I said he's already a defeated foe. And every believer, even born again 10 seconds, every believer born again 10 seconds has been given authority over him. I said that ought to make us glad. And his future has already been determined. God's got a lake of fire waiting on him. Hallelujah. Let me finish my scripture. And so the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false joining the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day and night forever. And I saw a great white throne, John said. I saw a great white throne and one sitting on it, and the earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were open, including the book of life. Skip down to 15. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. My brother and sister, don't let that be you. If you're listening to me over the internet, you're listening through some other venue, you're here in this live service listening to me, that's not supposed to be your destiny. And you can get this right tonight. Don't turn around and leave here thinking, well, I'll think about that tomorrow. You better make this right tonight. And if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, or if you have and you're not walking with him tonight, you better think real quick and hard. You better wise up. Tonight is your night. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Verse 10, for we must all appear. Now he's writing to Christians now. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. There are two places where judgment will take place. For those who reject God's offer of forgiveness through Christ, the great white throne judgment awaits them. For those of us believers, the judgment seat of Christ is where we'll be judged. The judgment seat of Christ, where Christians will go, is a mercy seat. It's a mercy seat. Yeah. I said, yeah. But the great white throne judgment, there won't be mercy there. There won't be a second chance there. People won't get to say there, now I see what they were preaching about. Now I see what my friends were talking about. I see what my family was saying. I see what my mama was saying. I see what my grandmama was saying now. I want a second chance. There won't be a second chance then. The chance you get, you have to accept right now. You have to take now on this side of life. And so the Bible says there's a great white throne judgment for some. There's the judgment seat of Christ for believers. I could go on and on with scriptures that speak of our names in the Lamb's Book of Life if you're a believer. The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about when, except that he put our names in the Book of Life. He knew whether we would accept him or not. He's placed our names in the Book of Life. But there are some names that have been blotted out. And the question really tonight is, where do you stand with Christ? My three points tonight: remind, rejoice, and repent. Remind yourself of God's favor for you. Remind yourself of God's love for you. Remind yourself of God's unfailing faithfulness. He's counted your every tear, written every day of your life in his book. Rejoice in the fact that your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if necessary tonight, it's time for you to repent. Get right with God. Don't allow yourself to die and leave this world and face a judgment where there'll be no second chance. However you're listening to me, with every head bowed, every eye closed, however you're listening to me tonight, if you're not living for God, I know there's something going on in your heart. And the Lord's moving on you because he wants you to make it right. He wants you to get things right. The Bible says his kindness leads us to repentance. And if you're here tonight and you say, well, I've never even personally really trusted Christ. I've prayed a lot of prayers, but I've never trusted Christ. Let me ask you this question. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you think about that with your head bowed, your eye closed, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Would God welcome you into his kingdom? Or would you go out into that outer darkness, face that great white throne judgment with no mercy, no second chance there? If you've never received Jesus, that will be your fate. Let me see your hand in here. You've never prayed to receive Christ, but you want to pray tonight. You want to get it right tonight. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, then when I come with my glory and with my angels, I'll be ashamed of you at that time. You're here and you say, I've never received Jesus as my Savior, and I want to pray tonight. Let me see your hand. Help me, Usher. You say, I've never received Jesus, but I want you to pray for me. Don't want to leave anybody. Jesus said, if you think about what happened to Noah, the same thing happened. This attitude of the people was the same way. Until the day that the rain started, he closed up that ship and nobody else could get on. 8 people. Let me see your hand in here. If you're not living right, you're not living for God, you want to make it right tonight. Let me see your hand in this place. You know the Lord's dealing with you. Jesus said, think about Noah. Think about Lot. Same thing happened when Lot left, when he left Sodom and Gomorrah, and fire and brimstone rained down in judgment on those towns. Let me see your hand. You want to get right with God in this place. Anybody in here like that? And the Bible says, Jesus said this. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What was she doing? She was leaving the degradation and turned around longing for it. Went back. In other words, she was going back into that lifestyle. You living the way you're supposed to? Father, we thank you. I don't see any hands here tonight. As people are listening to this message online, we want to pray a prayer because we know that people, Father, are being ministered to by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. If you're watching online, if you're listening some other way, I want you to say this prayer out loud. Help me, congregation. Let's say this prayer out loud together. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I repent of my sins. I accept your offer of forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to save me, to heal me, to touch me now. I claim the blood of Jesus. Father, thank you. You said if I would ask you to come in, you would in no wise cast me out. And because you keep your word, I know I'm saved by the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. My friends, what a joy to share with you tonight. And yet we know there are some who God is dealing with. And if he's dealing with you, then we just encourage you, you better obey God. You better humble yourself and obey God. Amen. God's dealing with your heart. He's trying to give you an opportunity. He's trying to give you a chance. If you turn around and you need that chance and you turn around and walk out, you're rejecting it. You're rejecting it. So don't let the enemy trick you or fool you. How many glad in here your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The Bible says we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice every day of our life. When you get up tomorrow and it's Monday and you think, oh, it's Monday. Oh, God, I got to go to work. Remind yourself, my name's written. Wait a minute. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to get on up and go. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The enemy starts harassing you tomorrow. Say, you know what? First of all, I'm going to take authority over him through the name of Jesus. And once I've exercised my authority, I'm going to remind myself my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It ought to give us joy every day of our lives. Come on up, prayer team. Our prayer team is here. And Reverend Paul and our sister Olivia, all our brothers and sisters are anointed. These anointed folk here. You need prayer for anything, come on up and they will pray with you. You won't leave here like you came. Thank you for being so attentive. And remember, let's keep our pastors in our prayers, okay? Let's keep Pastor Mrs. Hagan in our prayers. We love you. You are dismissed. Oh, wait. Did we have any first-time guests? We did. Okay. You were a first-time guest. So if you would go with our Connection Team member right now, and we're going to give you that gift that Pastor Tad was talking about. Just go with them right now. They're not going to hold you long. They're just going to give you the gift and thank you for being here. They're not going to hold you long. And we just want you to do that before the crowd gets to moving, because it'll take a long time to get there if the crowd gets to moving. So just go with them right now. They're not going to keep you very long. Then they're going to let you go. We're so glad you came tonight. We just want to honor you. Let's give them another big hand. They came tonight, their first night. Praise God. It's your first night tonight, but come back on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, hear Pastor Hagan bring the mighty word of God and you'll be blessed. Praise God, as we were this morning. So, all right, well, stand up on your feet then. If all other hearts and minds are clear, is anything else? We're all good? All right. So you are dismissed. God bless you, one and all.